This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين Excuse me. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise and thanks are due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, traces peace, blessings, and salutations upon our master and exemplar, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Beloved elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, we are about to enter into the month of Ramadan. And part of our preparation for Ramadan is the mental acclimatization to this arena that we are about to enter into. It's a training ground, it is a madrasa, it is a living reality that Allah has set for us. It's a very special part of Islam. It's one of our pillars. As Salah is a pillar of Islam, so too is Ramadan. I think that despite the fact that we all benefit from Ramadan, regardless of our level of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by framing our understanding of what the objectives of Ramadan are and our purpose within it, we will be able to attain much more and much more efficiently as well. So often kids would respond by saying Ramadan is a month of fasting. Surprisingly, often adults too respond by saying that Ramadan is a month of fasting. So I think some people may be surprised if I start by saying that Ramadan is not a month of fasting. We fast in Ramadan, but it is not a month of fasting. Ramadan, if anything, is the month of taqwa. It is the month of taqwa. Taqwa is the objective. Fasting is the means. Fasting is the means to attaining that objective. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, excuse me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون O believers, fasting has been prescribed for you as it has been prescribed upon those before you so that you may attain taqwa. So taqwa is the objective. Fasting is the means towards attaining that objective. And in many a Ramadan before, we've discussed here and elsewhere that fasting leads us to taqwa because of the facilities, the functionality of fasting. There's a battle that takes place when we are fasting. For example, that when the gluttony, which is the lust of the stomach, calls us towards food or drink, the aql, the qalb, says to the nafs, no, not right now, Allah wants us to wait, we will wait. And then the nafs is defeated. And then the private part, which is another form of lust, it's a different lust, the lust of the private parts. Imam Ghazali refers to the two lusts. There's the lust of the stomach, which is gluttony, and the lust of the private parts, which we generally refer to as lust. That also calls us in Ramadan. It tells us we have a halal spouse, we have urges, we have biological needs, right, and psychological needs. Proceed to your spouse. The qalb and the aql tells the body and the nafs, no, not right now, it's Ramadan. You'll wait till when it is appropriate for that. And sometimes we go into an extra level of ibadah, and all of that counts towards the progression that we make in Ramadan. For example, it is not compulsory to sit with the Quran during the day in Ramadan or during the night. It's not fard, but we do that. So again, something's happening there to the nafs. It's not compulsory or fard to perform Salatul Taraweeh. But we do that. Why do we do that? Because we want an extra level of something. Something is happening there with the nafs. And the result at the end of the month, after the fasting and the Quran recitation and the Taraweeh and the lectures and classes and the time spent in the masjid and the i'tikaf and the tahajjud prayer and the fitrah and if required, the fidya and the time spent with the family and the supplications that we read at morning time or at evening time and the visits, the more frequent visits to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the five daily prayers and the like, all of which results and culminates toward a peak at the end of Ramadan, a feeling indescribable in human words, but described by the divine as taqwallah. That feeling that brings us, many of us, to tears on the day of Eid. For that very month that we might have been apprehensive about before, we may have been apprehensive about the month before, but by the time we reach Eid, our hearts, minds, and souls yearn for this month. We want it to be prolonged. We want it to be with us forever, but we know it can't. It will lose its efficacy, right? If it's more than 1 month a year, we don't have that type of endurance. It's an intense training ground. It's an intensive training ground. And this training ground is there to train what? Based on everything we said right now, it appears that the entire training of Ramadan is there to train our nafs, to rein in the nafs. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت. The wise one is the one who reins in his or her nafs and they prepare for what comes after death. والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله. The foolish one, the ignorant one, is the one who pursues every desire, every lust, every calling that distracts them, and then they have high hopes. Allah, you know, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, Allah is most merciful, Allah is going to forgive me, you know, that type of thing. But they're doing anything and everything they want. Now, in our individual capacities, we know our own weaknesses. We know the nafs, right? Sometimes we are acutely aware of our nafs and its level and its weaknesses and its strengths, and sometimes we are somewhat oblivious to it. From a theoretical standpoint, we know that the nafs is not monolithic. There's not only one type of nafs. It depends on the person, it depends on their endeavors, right? We know that we get the base level of the nafs is an-nafsul ammara bisu. The nafs that perpetually commands to do evil. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Those who are saved from that, it's from the mercy of Allah. We know that there's another level of the nafs called an-nafsul lawwama, the nafs that still falls into the wrong, still makes mistakes. However, it's a blameworthy nafs. It's a nafs that takes the blame, that scolds itself, that rebukes itself, that does introspection and says, look here, man, you can't carry on like this. These habits of yours, you know, you need this now. The way you treat your family, this addiction to pornography, this addiction to movies, music, this addiction to entertainment, this addiction to sloth and laziness, this addiction to food. You know, you constantly want to feed your face. This is the nafs, all of this. But this is a nafsul lawama because this person, he knows, look here, this isn't right. And all of us also know about a nafsul mutma'inna, and we all desire to have a nafsul mutma'inna, isn't it? The contented soul, the one about which Allah Ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, it will be invited into Jannah. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O contented soul, enter among my servants, enter into my Jannah, enter therein forever. We want to be that. We know that that nafs, again from a theoretical perspective, and this has been analyzed and discussed before, that nafs, its desire, its want, is in accordance with the want of Islam. So that person, when they wake up, they desire, they have a magnetism towards saying Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. When they do something, they want to do the right thing. They want, their desire is in accordance with that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the end goal, right? That instead of our nafs dragging us towards finishing all the food on the table, our nafs will find pleasure and comfort in a little bit of food, because that would be the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. And we'll feel happy about that. Like, the food won't offer us any joy beyond how we can emulate the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That nafs will want to sleep like everybody else, but the sleep isn't for the sake of sleep. It is, I want to sleep like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want to follow the sunnah. I want to sleep as much as he did or as little as he did. That nafs looks forward to being in the masjid, looks forward to the adhan for salah. That nafs looks forward to fasting on whichever days, because that nafs has been trained. That nafs has gone through an intensive training. So by understanding the theory and the framework of how we get to that point, I believe, and Allah knows best, that we will more efficiently be able to reach our destination, and that destination is taqwallah. So all of us, inshallah, if Allah grants us life, we are going to enter into the month of Ramadan shortly. With the proper mindset, with the proper understanding of the battleground and how to navigate that battleground, inshallah, we will all come out with a superb level of taqwa. Ameen. So there are three tools at our disposal in Ramadan and in fasting that make up the tools of training against the nafs or for the nafs. These are battle points. Today we are discussing our battle plan, the battle plan against the nafs. It's just me and my nafs, right? What are these tools? It is mukhalafatun nafs, mujahadatun nafs, and muhasabatun nafs. Just three things. Mukhalafatun nafs, opposing the nafs. Mujahadatun nafs, working the nafs. And muhasabatun nafs, taking reckoning of the nafs, self-accountability. Those are the tools. How come, though, we are only speaking about the battle with the nafs? Like, we all have to be on the same page here. Remember what Allah does for us in the month of Ramadan, and why Ramadan is such a special training ground, and why it is such a fertile time and place and ground with which to build on our relationships with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, who's locked up in Ramadan? Shaitan. Public enemy number one. Public enemy number one. Look, with him out of the way, we can focus on other things. That's basically what it comes down to. Shaitan is opgesluit. I don't need to stress about shaitan. I just need to worry about my nafs. Because essentially, we are given three primary enemies in our path to Allah. Shaitan, the nafs, the environment. Look at the beauty of Ramadan. Shaitan, locked up. The environment changes. Everybody's fasting. Everybody's in a Ramadan mood. Everything on media around us, of course, to the extent of our willingness to do so, becomes a souped-up Islamic environment compared to what we are used to and accustomed to. We are surrounded by people reciting Quran, listening to Quran, coming to the masjid, listening to talks on the radio. It's a different world that we're living in for 1 month. Again, to the extent that we welcome that into our lives. Some people just carry on, you know, as it's nothing. The only difference between their Ramadan and outside of Ramadan is that they're hungry. And that we don't want that, right? TV continues, movies continue, music continues, social gatherings as per normal continues, the dress code is the same, the habits are the same, the nights are the same, the day is the same. Only difference is they're hungry. Add in a bukka time there maybe. That's not what we want. We want to accept the change of environment. We want to welcome the taraweeh. We want to welcome the iftar and the suhoor and the masjid and the classes and the lectures. We want to welcome, even if it's so much as the radio playing in our homes, the local community radio station, when there's some good programming there in Ramadan. We want that because the environment plays a role. So shaitan is taken care of. The environment, if you want, is taken care of. What's left? You and the nafs. It's one-on-one against the nafs. And then Allah gives us fasting. Allah gives us fasting. So in fasting, what we have is mukhalafatun nafs, opposing the nafs. The nafs, if at its basic instinct level, right, is what? An-nafsul amara bisu, the nafs that constantly commands with evil, constantly invites you, feed your face, feed your private parts, feed your desires, pursue your dreams, obey your thirst, just do it. That's all nafs messages right there. So under normal circumstances, we may just give in. But in Ramadan, I can't even fulfill my basic human needs because Allah restricts me. So I can't drink when I want. I can be thirsty, my throat can be dry, my stomach can be making sounds, right? I can be coughing, I might even have phlegm, I may have overslept for suhoor in the morning, and all of that, I still can't have lunch. I still can't have lunch. Somebody can give an ice cream cone to me, delicious ice cream cone in my hand, and say, here, go for it, free of charge. I still can't indulge because Allah takes priority. We have mukhalafatun nafs. I may want to sleep late, I may not want to wake up for suhoor, but I know this is part of Ramadan, so I wake up anyways. I may not want to attend Taraweeh because I'm tired that night. But the primary factor is the opposition to the nafs. The nafs says yay, and the qalb and the aql says nay. Not going to happen. And we have 30 days of this, right? We have 30 days of this. So this is mukhalafatun nafs, a way to nurture the soul and its good qualities and keep the bad qualities at bay, which is essentially what tazkiyatun nafs is, the growing of the soul, the growing of the self, right? Self-development. That there requires mukhalafatun nafs. Now, is mukhalafatun nafs easy? No, it is not easy. It is going against your animalistic instincts, right? It's going against your animalistic. It's like telling an animal not to eat, not to drink. The animal has nothing that stands in its way of eating and drinking except real physical factors. Other than that, the animal's going to eat. You can tell the animal, Jamut Puasa, the animal's not going to look at you like that, right? The animal's going to eat. So we are also, part of us, we are biological animal creatures. But with Ramadan, we oppose that. So under normal circumstances, mukhalafatun nafs, going against your base desires, is hard. It is difficult. When the private parts urges us to fulfill our sexual desire, and we have the halal means to do so, we just go for it. Sometimes even if we don't have the halal means to do so, na'udhu billah, we go for it anyways because the nafs wants it, so I give it, right? We go for that pleasure. Dopamine release. However, in Ramadan, we have facilitated mukhalafatun nafs. Opposition of the nafs made easy. 101. Opposition of the nafs for dummies, right? Allah grants us this arena because it's training. Other times, try to oppose the nafs. And then what happens? Shaitan comes and he says, why not have another piece of chocolate cake? It's not haram. Right? So what if you're full? Just have another piece. Just another piece. Why not sleep an extra hour or two? Why not procrastinate and leave your work over till tomorrow? You can make up for it tomorrow. Chill, relax. So shaitan is always going to be there to interfere. Ramadan comes, no more shaitan. Just you and the nafs. Allah grants us that. But mukhalafatun nafs and opposing the nafs is only one of three important exercises for the training of the nafs. Opposing the nafs is there, and it's built into Ramadan, right? It's built in. It gives us that taqwa at that level automatically, inshallah, if we follow the rules of Ramadan. But what about mujahadatun nafs? What is that? Working the nafs. We can't just oppose its base desire. We also need to feed it with things that are hard for the nafs, difficult for the nafs, goes against the desire, but not just goes against, gives it an alternative that it doesn't want. It's like giving the nafs medicine, right? When a person is sick, The doctor may say, okay, avoid X, Y, and Z in your diet. It's just mathan, and the doctor says, no more dairy. The dairy is affecting whatever the case may be. So you abstain from dairy. But that's not all the doctor's going to do. The doctor's also going to prescribe medicine. You need to take the medicine. Now, sometimes the medicine is very bitter, or it's not a very pleasant experience to take the medicine. Maybe it is the type of medicine that goes in, you know, rear end. That's not a very pleasurable experience. Inshallah, I hope it's not. That there is mujahada to nafs, working the nafs. Because now you must feed the nafs with medicine. What do we do in Ramadan? Now, this is no longer fard. This is no longer fard. Because we have the sunnah to teach us what medicine to give the nafs in Ramadan. This is up to you. How much do you want? How much are you willing to put in? Because what you are willing to put in, that's what you get out. This is sitting with the Quran. Does the nafs want to sit with the Quran? No, the nafs wants to watch TV. Does the nafs want to go to the masjid for Taraweeh? No, the nafs wants to rest. The nafs wants to spend time with the family. The nafs wants to chill. The nafs wants to go and sleep. Does the nafs want to sacrifice the comfort of the home to go and perform i'tikaf? Not at all. The nafs wants the king-size Sealy posturepedic bed and the wife that comes along with it. That's what the nafs wants. Why would the nafs want to voluntarily give those things up to come to the masjid? So we oppose the nafs, mukhalafatu nafs. Then we work the nafs, read Quran, attend classes, listen to lectures, attend taraweeh, sit with our studies, our books, if we so choose to do, and so on and so forth. The nafs constantly needs to be fed. If we don't feed the nafs, it's like not nourishing the body with nutrients. And this means that we're slowly going to die. So mujahada to nafs is feeding the nafs with the nutrients that it requires. Then the third tool that we have at our disposal, and all of this is coming from Imam al-Ghazali and his Ihya Ulumuddin, his magnum opus. He's got an entire section on jihadun nafs, right? Which is what this khutbah is essentially based on. The third tool at our disposal is muhasabatun nafs, self-accountability, right? Self-accountability is when we take stock of who we are. Now, for self-accountability to take place, one needs to accept the fact that we are not only good, nor are we only bad. But we need to be mature enough to recognize that we have strengths and weaknesses. And those strengths and weaknesses, the origin of them are built into the nafs. Allah says, بَعْدَ نَقُولَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The nafs and the one who fashions it and then inspires into it its potential for evil, فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, and its potential for good, for taqwa. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, and then successful is the one who purifies it. So what is muhasabatun nafs all about? It is to look at this battlefield here. Look, Allah gave me, for example, a person may say, Allah gave me sabr, and Allah gave me, I'm a very grateful person, I've got some shukr. But hold on, I'm lacking when it comes to the way I feel about other people. Maybe I look down upon other people. That is a form of kibir. Maybe I'm very jealous about other people and what they have, and I'm constantly, you know, thinking, why do other people have things and I don't have them? So I've got a weakness there. Then, okay, my spouse says, you know, you're a very boastful person. These are all examples, but each person needs to evaluate their own nafs and see what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses, and then self-accountability takes place. Now, how does Ramadan provide us with a platform for self-accountability? I believe, and Allah knows best, that dua has been built into Ramadan as an option, but also as a highly encouraged option. And in the dua, we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawbah. And when we seek Allah's tawbah for 30 days, at iftar, and for 30 nights at taraweeh or in tahajjud, and for 30 mornings at suhoor, making dua, because we are constantly encouraged, dua of the fasting person is mustajab, dua at the time of breaking the fast is mustajab. All of this, dua, if we think about it, is a form of self-accountability and self-reflection. I have to sit there and pray to Allah, oh Allah, I turn to you and make tawbah for the mistakes that I've made in my life. I turn to you for this day that I did that thing and so on. This is self-accountability, where we present ourselves and our weaknesses before our Rabb, and we call upon Him and we supplicate to Him to remove our weaknesses, allow us to gain strength over it, and to nurture our positive qualities. And with these tools, not once off, right? Not once off, but with a consistent application of these tools, which Allah facilitates for us in the month of Ramadan, the resultant attainment at the end is taqwa Allah. Taqwa, which is not the discussion of this khutbah, but taqwa is malakatun, it is an internal quality, tahmilu sahibaha, that will drive us, alam tithali awamirillahi wa ajtinabi nawahihi, to pursue all of Allah's commands and to refrain from that which He prohibited. It just comes. But you don't just get that. We don't just wake up in the morning, oh, it's Ramadan, I've got taqwa now. It doesn't work like that, right? It doesn't come. It feels like that because we're super pumped at the beginning of Ramadan, that we feel like we can bacha a khatam of the Quran. That's why the masjid is so full in the first night and the second night, and then like Eno, right? Put it in and it fizzles and then it just dissipates. Effervescence doesn't last that long. No, we're not looking for effervescence. We're looking for, like, you know, Coca-Cola. I don't know what else to say, but that's a more sustained level of gas, right? Don't be full of gas, just be full of taqwa. And the way to get to that point is really to just allow Ramadan to do its job without getting in the way with the nafs. Allah locks up shaitan. Okay, the hadith also mentions that the doors of Jannah are opened and the doors of Jahannam are closed. Many people kind of misunderstand this. They think that, okay, if somebody dies in Ramadan, that's instant Jannah. Doesn't matter who they were, the leader of some gang, Makisaki. It doesn't work like that. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, in his Fathul Bari, actually he gives some alternative views which I think we need to consider. The doors of Jannah are open, meaning the pathways to goodness is like wide open. Everywhere you look, there's a program, whether it is online, in the masajid, in the schools, etc. There's some goodness, and somebody's inviting us toward the goodness. That's Ramadan. Just allow that to take place. And, you know, you'll benefit from it, inshallah. The doors of Jahannam are locked shut because the pathways to evil has become more constrained, more restricted, more, or rather difficult to attain. Like the person who's addicted to pornography, they may think nothing of it outside of Ramadan. I think, I hope, that in Ramadan, the chances for that evil deed to transpire is very restricted, right? If the person actually allows Ramadan to do its job, they're fasting during the day. At night, they should be in Taraweeh. Then they've still got their Quran to bacha. Where's their chance for this evil to take place? And by the time there is a chance, right? Let's say this person's habit is like at night when everybody's asleep. By the time that chance arrives, and then the taqwa has already been pushed to a certain level. Now this person is going to think, oh, no, I can't do this. It's Ramadan. It's Ramadan. So Ramadan just makes the training ground to reach Allah easier. Now, what do we do with all of this? What do we do with this? Number one, we've understood that Ramadan is a training ground because Allah removes public enemy number one, shaitan. Allah facilitates our environment in such a way that reaching Him and reaching our goals for His sake is easier. Then we have the privilege and the opportunity to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which will, for all intents and purposes, fulfill mukhalafatun nafs, mujahadatun nafs, muhasabatun nafs, if we follow it correctly. Whether we understand what I'm saying or not, it's still going to happen if we let Ramadan do its job. The one thing that could ruin our Ramadan, really, is if we don't think of the nafs as, you know, being under training. There's no badge that says trainee. You just let the nafs continue. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ. The foolish one is the one who just lets the nafs go ahead and, you know, do whatever you want. Insha'Allah, I will still get the forgiveness of Ramadan. Insha'Allah, I will still be from among those who attain taqwa Allah, and so on. That's wishful thinking, right? That's wishful thinking. So the person who does not make mukhalafatu nafs in Ramadan, that's the troubled one. The person who does not make mujahadatu nafs in Ramadan, that's the one that's going to get into trouble. The person that does not do muhasabatu nafs in Ramadan, that's the person that's not going to attain it. After everything said and done, how do we even manage that? Here's how. Mukhalafatu nafs just tells you stay away from food, drink, physical intercourse, right? From the time of true dawn until the time the sun sets. But isn't it true, excuse me, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطِشُ وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ لَيْسَ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرُ. Many a fasting person attains nothing but hunger and thirst. Many a standing person, meaning a person who prays at night, attains nothing from their standing except fatigue. So it's possible. You know how? This person does not abstain from the nafs's desire except food, drink, and intercourse. And only for the time that they must. This is the person. The last thing that they do before the adhan is going off is still taking that last. The first thing that they do when the adhan sounds for Maghrib is, okay, first the date and then, then on top of it, I'm not going to, you know, like attack them specifically. There's the other group. They look forward to the moment after iftar because they're going to make qada now. They're going to make qada now, right? Hey, what can I have for supper that's going to make up for the lunch that I missed? Plus one extra because I'm still staying in Taraweeh tonight. Okay, 10 samosas, 10 pies, only 5 pizzas. You know, I'm on a diet. And then a cup of faluda, fruit salad, ice cream, and then my plate of food, and then Taraweeh. And when I come back, I'll have my second helping. What you just did to the nafs right there is during the day you told the nafs, no, 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 obedience, obedience, obedience. And in the night, right, bismillah, go ahead, just go boss, like we would say. That's not going to help. Because now we're taking the nafs like an elastic band, right? That type of tension and release is not going to be helpful. Any training that we may have, you know, received during the day, we ruin it at night. It's like physical training, actually. You have some people who think, look, I can go to the gym for 20 minutes, and then I can eat for 20 minutes, anything that I want afterwards also. It's like some in, some out. It doesn't quite work like that, right? We have to accept, welcome, and embrace mukhalafatu nafs, even after we break our fast. It's not that we must abstain from watching movies and porn and listening to haram during the day, and then after Maghrib it's okay. It defeats the purpose. Any training that we've gathered during the day in Ramadan, it's going to be completely lost to us in the evenings of Ramadan. Right? We have to think about it this way. So that difficulty in fasting is part of what gives us the taqwa, so embrace it. Embrace it throughout Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan. That difficulty is a key factor, because that is mukhalafatu nafs, opposing the nafs. The second one, the person who doesn't do mujahadatu nafs. Now remember, we said it's not fard. We can't say that it's fard to sit and bacha a juz every day. Nor can we say that it's fard for the person to come to Taraweeh and pray 20 raka'at or 8 raka'at or whatever the case may be. It's not fard, right? But that is mujahadatu nafs. That is the training, right? It's like, I always use these examples because it comes to mind. The person who's physically training, right? But all they do is the diet part, the nutrition part. They just eat well, but they don't move. No muscle is being trained at all. You're getting one side of the coin, but not the other. It's not a complete picture. You have to put in the work. And putting in the work means I'm going to sit with the Quran even though I'm tired. I'm going to go to the masjid for Taraweeh even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to give charity even though I've already paid my fitrah. I'm going to help feed the poor, the needy. I'm going to look after those who need looking after. Look, how many people, how many widowers are there and widows are there because of COVID-19 and other things? I mean, my mother and I were discussing actually last night, a distant relative about my age or slightly older, who she has like 4 kids. And her husband died very suddenly during the pandemic of COVID-19. So these are the people we need to be thinking about right now. How can we go out of our way to uplift their lives and their livelihoods? You know, because this is the spirit of Ramadan. This is what we spoke about last night. This is the ukhuwah that is required for us to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you put in the work, the mujahada, jahada is hard work, right? Jahada, it's like, it's the same root letters as jihad. It's tough. It's difficult. Waking up for tahajjud is difficult. Leaving your home to go to the masjid for salah is difficult. Sitting and making dua at iftar time when the stomach just wants to have that dalchi is difficult, right? But doing it benefits the training of the nafs. And the more we put in, the more we get out. And then the final one is muhasabatun nafs. The person who does not do muhasabatun nafs, taking self-accountability, goes into Ramadan with crocodile tears, right? Crying, praying to Allah, making tawbah to Allah. We've all done this before. But there's no sincere effort or plan of action to not go back to the same mistakes as before. So Ramadan comes, tawbah to Allah, ya Allah, I'm going to change. Ramadan leaves, back to square one. Then Ramadan comes again. Oh Allah, I'm going to change. Ramadan leaves, back to square one. Because muhasabatun nafs didn't take place. Tawbah is not just about promising that we are not going to do the thing anymore. And, you know, tawbah has a number of factors. That it's going to take too long to get through all of them. But part of tawbah is having a genuine plan to burn the bridge that we use to access the sinning. For example, the person who is afflicted with pornography addiction, that person needs to take some serious action. Maybe cancel the Wi-Fi, right? Maybe just rely on data if that's possible at all. Maybe have some software installed that would prevent one from doing that. Maybe speak to a relative or get professional help, because apparently it's a serious mental disease, right? Any form of addiction for that matter. Any form of addiction. The point is, a person who sincerely wants to change and not just be in a cycle of make the mistake, until we die, na'udhu billah, and, you know, may Allah protect us and not make us of those. But we want to be from those who, every Ramadan, I manage to work on a new thing. Maybe last Ramadan I was proud and arrogant and vain and conceited and all of those things. But I worked on that in Ramadan. And I did muhasabatun nafs and I reflected on myself and my qualities. And I spoke to learned people and I read books on how I can deal with these things, right? And I deliberately put the work in and I got a bit better. Now, inshallah, this Ramadan, I'm going to work on the relationship with my spouse, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat my parents. I'm going to work on this. And in order for me to do this, I need to address these weaknesses that I have. And in order for me to address the weaknesses, I need to go and learn. I need to reflect on my nafs. That's a serious plan. Planning for Ramadan is not just about filling the cupboard. It's not just about learning the fiqh of Ramadan. It's not just about you know, getting the family ready and just telling yourself that it's Ramadan. Planning for Ramadan is a spiritual exercise as well. These are the tools that Allah Ta'ala had given us. That is the arena that Allah gives us. Shaitan is locked up, Jannah open, Jahannam closed. 3 tools built into Ramadan. It's up to us to use it. Mukhalafatun nafs, opposing the nafs. Mujahadatun nafs, working the nafs. And muhasabatun nafs, taking account of oneself so that we can improve. And that, dearest brothers and sisters in Islam, is true self-development. Not the self-development that the self-help gurus want to teach us. That's positive and it has some benefits. But this is divine self-development. This is how Allah wants to train us. Not to develop the nafs so that it's stronger with its desires, but rather to gain control over that nafs. Because again, as I began, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْكَيِّسُ مَنْ دَانَ نَفْسَهُ وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. The wise one is the one who gains control over that nafs and prepares for what comes afterwards, after life, which is the year after. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. وَالْعَاجِزُ. But the foolish one is the one who thinks that they can get away with anything and everything that the nafs wants here. مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Inshallah. Allah is ghafooru rahim, brother. Allah is ghafooru rahim, brother. You know that line? Yes, my brother, Allah is ghafooru rahim. Allah is also shadidul iqab. You know, which means severe in punishment. Right? We must. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Improve yourself. Get better. Develop yourself before that day comes when Allah Ta'ala takes accounting of us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad subhanallah wa bihamdi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. A brief reminder, one is about the dates that continues to be for sale. It's been a while since we did this, but there's a car, a white, what kind of car is that, Uncle Iksan? Suzuki. Needs to please move, min fadlikum, from the parking spot that they are occupying, CAA90519. So the dates are for the Masjid Ramadan activities. Please do purchase for yourself and your family members, and it will be in support of the Masjid's activities in Ramadan. Our class continues on a Wednesday evening, and it commences now after Maghrib, inshallah, because of the times. And everybody is welcome to attend that. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله على الصلاة